We are going to take a look at our direction for 2018, and this passage of Scripture provides the kind of the launch pad for direction for us throughout the next year. The last 2 years we have selected themes for the year that reflect what we believe to be God's will for us and God's will for our families and for those that we lead to Christ. We believe that it runs counter to the spirit of this age. This age seems to be pell-mell, spent on short-term gain, short-term wins, and long-term defeat, and long-term dependency, and long-term being destroyed. But we believe that God's word for us is that He is about life for us. He wants our life to thrive. That was the theme in 2016, to thrive. We use the verse of Scripture from John 10:10 that Jesus told us. He said that the thief comes only to steal from us. What has Satan stolen from you? Perhaps he has stolen your joy, your happiness. Maybe he's stolen your innocence. Maybe he's stolen your purity. Maybe he's stolen your ability to live without fear. The thief comes to steal, to kill. What dreams has the enemy killed in your life, and to destroy us through all kinds of things that we would give dominance in our lives? But Jesus told us something very important. Didn't leave us there. He told us something very important. He says, but I have come that we might have life, and we might have it more, what's the word? Abundantly. That is a powerful promise. That is a powerful thought for us. And if you haven't embraced that, do embrace that. We have to ask ourselves some very honest questions. And the question is to ourselves, am I living that abundant life? Or do I find myself broken? Do I find my heart broken? Do I find my life broken? Do I find my family broken? Do I find, my ability to get things done broken? Or am I living an abundant life? And, it's not that we wake up one day and all of a sudden we have no more problems. Wouldn't that be nice? But it is a journey. It is a journey that we begin to put together an abundant life, overcoming problems, overcoming habits that destroy us, overcoming barriers to opportunities that God wants us to step into and to begin to thrive. And that was our theme for 2016. 2017 has been the theme of fearless, to live fearlessly. The question we have asked is, what would you do with your life if you were not afraid? And that dream and that desire that is the answer to that question was put there by God Himself. We believe, there's some things we want to do, jump off bridges and, bungee jumping or something like that. If we weren't afraid, we'd do that. That's not what we're talking about. There are some deep dreams and desires for your life that God put into your life, but we have stopped short of pursuing those things because of a fear of inadequacy, a fear of failure, a fear of what people might say about us, and it has stopped us short. And we encourage you to step into that dream, step through the fear barrier, and realize what God has willed for your life and what He wants to accomplish through your life. We believe that God has great plans. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you and the plans that I have for you. They are good plans. And He wants to help us step into that. So we are looking at 2018, and we want to announce our theme for 2018, and it is the word stronger. And once again, we have gotten these little bracelets. I don't know if you like those or not, but we want to hand these out at the end of our service today. There will be those at the doors of the sanctuary handing these out. We encourage you to take one and wear it as a reminder that our theme this year is growing stronger. And with that, I want to go to Ephesians 6 and start with verse 10. And you'll see where this comes out of the very first verse here. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Okay? Now, that's important. We could just tear this single verse apart today and learn much from it. Our strength doesn't come from us, does it? Paul writes here in this 10th verse of the 6th chapter of Ephesians, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Not our might, his might. And he encourages us, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Very important verse here, very important understanding. We're going to get some more scriptures that will intertie with this verse. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," okay? It is not the person standing in front of us that's yelling at us, screaming at us, cursing at us, doing bad things to us. That is not our fight, okay? It looks like our fight. It's the one that we feel. It's the one that we see. But Paul tells us that's not our fight. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Here's the real fight. This is where it exists, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. That word "host" means armies, okay? That's a old English word for armies. Spiritual armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where our fight is. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And that's what we want to use as our launch pad into 2018, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so our theme for 2018 is the word "stronger." And it's this adjective that describes our journey in knowing Jesus. Now, we debated for a while whether we should just use the word "strong" or modify it to make it "stronger." And we chose the word "stronger" because the word "strong" might imply that all of a sudden this just happens to us or for us. And it's kind of a like we've arrived at the destination. We wanted to give more emphasis to the part that this is a journey. Every day we become stronger. It's not completed in a day. It's a journey that lasts for the rest of our life, that each and every day we grow stronger. It's just in 2016, learning how to thrive. Every day we learn how to thrive in spite of the adversaries of life and the difficulties that we encounter. We learn to thrive in spite of those. We learn what the abundant life looks like in spite of some of the bad news that we encounter. To live fearlessly, we often hyphenate the word "fearless" and "fearless," because that gives us the idea of a progression. Each and every day we fear less than the day before. And so we add to that same emphasis. It's the same journey. It's different aspects. It's different ideas that we learn through the same journey that we are in following Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So each day, each season of life, each year, we are going to be growing stronger in the faith, stronger in our marriages, stronger in our relationships, stronger in health, stronger in our finances. And as we contemplate the context of what Scripture speaks to us, one aspect of this journey that we want to address today and as a template for the year is that all of life is spiritual, okay? So many times we just kind of operate with the natural senses, the same things that we can see, taste, touch, hear, and so forth. Those are the kind of the outward senses, but we need to develop a spiritual sense that when we encounter difficult times, even when we encounter times of joy and times of happiness, that all of that is spiritual in nature. And it's probably more clearly illustrated when we're talking about conflict of some kind, is that we're not dealing on an earthly plane, but on a spiritual plane. And the things that happen in the natural have spiritual causes. And it is that that we need to be hooked into. We need to understand that. Sometimes we live lives of compartmentalization. You know, we have this box, and we pull it out on Sundays, and it's our religious box. And all the religious parts of our lives, you know, going to church and whatnot, go into the religious box, and after the sermon, we push that box back in, and we go back to our this is my regular life box, and we pull that out. And this is all the behaviors and words and things that are part of my regular life. And sometimes we shove that box back in, and we go to, well, this is my relationship box, and whoever I'm with, I have different behaviors and words and things that come out of that box. And that's a terrible mistake, because sometimes, without our permission, all those boxes are pulled out together at the same time, and if those parts don't interchange, it doesn't work very well. We can't fulfill two different sets of expectations at the same time. And so we learn that we have to integrate all of our lives. You can't just have a spiritual box and a regular life box. They have to be the same box. That not meaning that, you know, you have to levitate around at your workplace, okay? You know, with a halo or something on your head. That's not the idea, okay? The idea is that we understand it's not flesh and blood. It's not the things that we see that are all important, but the things that are unseen and the dynamics that take place in the spiritual realm that have absolute effects on the here and now, on the natural realm in which we live. And sometimes, you know, we exclude different things in our view of the spiritual nature of all of life, things like our health sometimes. We don't think of our health as a spiritual nature. But it's interesting, when you aren't feeling well, what do we ask prayer for? We ask prayer for our health. I want my health back. I don't want this disease. I don't want this cold. I don't want, you know, speaking of colds, I tell you what, you kiss Renny and those grandkids, you're going to participate in that with them. We have done plenty of that. I'm high on Alka-Seltzer Plus right at the moment, so I won't be having to blow my nose too much through the sermon. But, you know, we don't think of it as a spiritual issue, except when all of a sudden it is a spiritual issue. I want prayer to not feel this way anymore. And so if it's enough for prayer, no matter what the situation is, then yes, it is a spiritual issue, and our health is a spiritual issue, or finances. Sometimes we think finances are separate from spiritual life. Nothing could be further from the truth. When you lose your job, what do you ask prayer for? Yeah, yeah, prayer for another job, or finances, you know. Wouldn't you like to just pray for finances? You wouldn't have to work. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, but if you know, finances are a spiritual issue in times like that, then it is a spiritual issue all of the time. So we can't compartmentalize these things. We have to look at life as one spiritual existence in which you and I are part of. And so if all of life is spiritual, we confront the barriers to growing stronger on the spiritual plane. And according to Ephesians 6 that we just read, we will wrestle futilely against flesh and blood instead of the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age if we do not understand this most important thing. And so we want to take a look at that. And when we miss the spiritual significance of the fight to live stronger, we're merely shadow boxing and not addressing the real enemy of our lives. And so we want to kind of open our understanding to that if we are to live 2018 stronger in our faith, stronger in our family, stronger in our understanding, stronger in our health, and so forth. The idea that it is our journey of increasing, to living the abundant life, to living the dream that God has planted in your heart. He will make that possible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18, Paul kind of expands our understanding of this very principle as a reflection on his own life. He says this, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, the troubles that you experience in life have far bigger consequences than you ever imagined. And as we grow stronger through them, you know, if you're going to grow stronger, you know, let's just go to, you know, our body, making our body stronger. You know, it's going to take a lot more than just buying a neat, you know, workout outfit and going to the gym and just showing up. That's not going to make you stronger, right? You got to go to the gym and you got to what? You got to experience some pain. You got to experience effort. You got to sweat. You got to push yourself farther than you wanted to. But it will make your body strong. It's the adversity that makes you strong. And when we experience adversity in our lives, it makes us stronger. It will either defeat us or it will make us stronger. And that God has brought it into our lives not to defeat us, but to make us stronger. So our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's verse 18, very important for us. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Plug into the eternal. Everything else is temporary. So I want to just share with you three thoughts today on the path to growing stronger in life, and in particular in 2018. The path to living a stronger life is through living smarter, okay? It's okay to be smart and be a Christian at the same time. I hope you know that, okay? Being a Christian doesn't mean dismissing your ability to think. And we sometimes, you know, thinking is hard work for us sometimes. And we don't want to think. We don't want to sit down and figure things out. Sometimes we think living by faith means just flying about without a plan and just seeing how things turn out. Well, sometimes we experience a lot of pain and a lot of conflict in our lives because of that. But we can live a smarter life. And let me again, I'm not talking about just being clever in our own strength or clever in our own thinking or that kind of thing. I love Psalm 119, verse 98. It says this, "You, Lord, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For the commandments, are ever with me." When we have the scripture flowing through our lives, there is imparted to us a wisdom that gives us an advantage in growing stronger in life. That person who is standing in front of you and yelling and screaming and cursing or causing problems for you, they are not the problem. And when we understand that through the scriptures, they make us wiser than our enemies, as it, all of a sudden the threat of that is dissipated. And they can turn red in the face and they can scream and yell and all they want. And in the midst of that, you can feel a sense of peace and calm because you see beyond what is happening in the flesh and blood. You see beyond what is happening in the seen. You begin to see what is unseen, and it brings a whole new level of understanding, and it makes us wiser than our enemies. I'm reading right now my Bible through and again this year, and I was in 1 Samuel, and in the book of 1 Samuel, we see the introduction of the dynasty of King Saul and the new dynasty of King David, and there's conflict between the two dynasties, and King Saul knows that David will be the next king, and in his own strength, he tries to extinguish the life of David, who will become the next king. And so there's this struggle, there is this conflict, and David has to flee for his life into the wilderness to escape King Saul. And Saul expends much time and energy in chasing him and trying to find him, and yet David escapes time and time again. And it is through the wisdom that God gave him throughout the narrative, you will find this little phrase, "And David behaved himself wisely." And it was that that gave him an edge over his adversary, King Saul. Now, at least we know two times, because of what the writers of 1 Samuel, the writer of 1 Samuel shares with us, that on two occasions it looked like God had delivered King Saul into David's hand. Once in a cave, where David could have easily taken his vengeance out on King Saul and ended his life, and once in the middle of King Saul's camp. He was there, and David and his bodyguard was with him, and his bodyguard offered to drive his spear through the body of King Saul as he slept there on the ground. And on both occasions, David exhibited incredible wisdom, seen beyond the flesh and blood to the spiritual plane, the spiritual understanding. He says, "No, we will not extend our hand against the Lord's anointed." This man was anointed with the holy anointing oil of kings and priests, and we will not put it in our hand to take his life. And so twice, when it seemed like it made all the common sense in the world to end King Saul's life, to stop all the chasing around in the wilderness and living in caves and away from family and the loved ones, and step into the kingdom, David prohibited himself from doing that and prohibited others from doing that, because he understood on a far more important level than just what he was seeing and experiencing, and allowed God to bring justice to his adversaries. And so you and I can live a wiser life, and part of that, and we encourage you often, to read your Bibles. Why? Because as we engraft the Word of God into our lives and we read it and we read it and we read it and we read it, what we don't realize in that process, it's imparting God's wisdom to us. All of a sudden there's knowledge that builds upon itself, and all of a sudden we begin to make different kinds of choices. We begin to use different kinds of words. We have a different outlook on life, and it makes us wiser than our enemies. Took a survey today. Not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you like to be wiser than your enemies? 100%. All of us would like that. God's word will make you wiser than your enemies. Number two, the path to living a stronger life is the path of weakness. Does that sound like a paradox? Sound like a contradiction? You didn't expect me to say that, did you? But it's true. The path to living a stronger life is living a life of weakness. And again, spiritual understanding is key to living a stronger life here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. And this is Paul's mentoring of the young man, Timothy. He says, "For bodily exercise profits a little." In other words, that's a good thing. "But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." So we're not so much talking about making our body strong, although that is a good thing. And we'll talk about stronger health, and maybe we should do something about that to improve our bodily health. And that'll be a subject for another day. But more important in living a life of weakness is not weakness in spiritual things, but being weak in our own strength and ability. Living a godly life is often seen as weak in the context of our own culture. We're, you know, if somehow we're attached to church or, you know, being religious or something like that, there's this connotation that we're weak, that, you know, we can't just do it on our own strength. Let me tell you, help you with some understanding here. I think there are admissions all the time of how limited we are in our own strength and our own resources. Every time we reach for a bottle of alcohol, to numb pain in our lives or help us to deal with the pressures of the present is an admission that I am not enough. It's an admission that I'm weak. Anytime we reach for a mind or body controlling substance, it is admission that I am not enough. You know, this may sound silly to you, and understand if, you know, you participate in these things, that's between God and you. But I had to know for myself. One time I found a cigarette. I never purchased a cigarette in my life, but I found a whole cigarette. And I had this funny thought. And I wonder what part of this is the sin part. You know, because in church, you know, we heard all our lives, you know, smoking's a sin, right? So I thought, I'm going to find it. I have a cigarette here, and we're going to dissect this, and we're going to find out what is the sin part. So I sliced it open, and I rolled it out. You know, just like you did the earthworm in junior high, you know what you're talking about, right? And there it is. I thought, well, is this tobacco? Is that the sin part? Is it paper? Is it this little cotton part here at the end? What part's the sin? You know what? None of that's sinful right there. Well, what is the point? What is the point? Every time we reach for a cigarette, we are admitting, I am not enough. I need a cigarette to calm me down. I need a cigarette to just, you know, feel better. Or, you know, I need a cigarette that just relaxes me or whatever. Every time we reach for a bottle, every time we reach for a cigarette, each time we reach for drugs or whatever the case may be, we are preventing Jesus to be whatever that is to us. You know, what do we reach to a bottle for? To numb the pain. You know what? Jesus wants to numb the pain in your life. Jesus wants you to have that security in him. Every time we reach for a replacement for Jesus, we are admitting, I am not strong enough to handle this. And the important part is that we recognize this. Sometimes we live in kind of denial of all that. We don't understand the spiritual realities of these things. But anytime we have a lack in our lives and we reach for a place, for me, since I've never smoked or drank or done drugs, every time I reach for more food than I should have, because it comforts me, right? It makes me feel better. I am replacing what Jesus wants to be in my life with that. You can apply it to your own life. You can apply it wherever you are. But when we understand we are weak, when we understand why am I overeating, it's because I'm weak and I'm trying to find strength in something that doesn't give me strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 has this to say. This is Paul again. And he, Jesus, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities or weaknesses, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, we don't have to understand this verse all today, okay? There's a lot here to unpack, and there's a lot here to grow in our understanding of. But what is Paul saying? He says, when I finally recognize the fact I'm weak and I stop reaching for other things, I allow Christ's strength to be manifested in me. And that way, when I am weak, I become strong. Because it's not my strength. Remember Ephesians 6? So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not our might, not our strength, his might. We are to be strong in. And Paul made that discovery that when I'm weak, when I admit, Lord, I can't do this on my own, I invite you into that pain. I invite you into that place of discomfort in my life, that place of insecurity, a place of craving. Whatever it is, you are my strength. So being weak in the world's eyes is not weak in God's eyes. The path to living stronger is through weakness. The third and final point is this. The path to living a stronger life is through humility. A lot of these things are paradoxes, and we are so colored and tainted by the culture in which we live and the priorities and the values of the culture that we are immersed in. You know, it's a me-first culture, is it not? You know, it's when it comes right down to it, it's about what's best for me. Got to make some hard choices here, and it's me, not you. And sometimes we adopt that kind of thinking into our world. Humility in a me-first world, humility is often seen as a weakness. And when pride and arrogance seem to get immediate results, it is hard to wait on God to bring justice. Now, it may look like I'm being judgmental here, and I honestly, it's not my point. I just need a way to illustrate this, and I'm not pointing out where how I'm better than someone else, but I remember just in the recent years, there was one particular person who was on one of those award shows and was given an award, and many people before this person had received awards, and some of them said, well, you know, I want to thank, you know, Jesus Christ for helping me and whatever in their speech of acceptance of the award. And when this particular person was given the award, their words were, the first thing I want you to know is that Jesus Christ had nothing to do with me getting this award. And I remember hearing that. It was a little jarring, and all the anger that was kind of fomented about the idea that somehow Jesus was involved in this sort of thing. And they went on to just, you know, say that Jesus has nothing, no significance in my life. And frankly, I think you're all, you know, daft for believing in Jesus. And the moment of, you know, being on top, you know, having the world's attention on you, receiving an award, you are somebody, you are somebody of significance, you are somebody the world admires and adulates, you know, you feel pretty strong at times like that, but that is not the path of strength, because that very particular person, along with many other people that we have seen in recent weeks and recent months, have been destroyed because of that kind of arrogance in their lives. It is not the path of strength to be a me-first person, but the path to living a stronger life is through humility. And it is sometimes not clear that we need to live a life of humility and you know, get yours before somebody else gets yours. You know, I'm kind of amazed at our local fishery in July, the sockeye run, and how much sometimes, you know, with the abundance of fish, my goodness, do we live in a blessed place or what? But how much anger is sometimes expressed because you're catching my fish. And when there's enough to go around, and there's enough to fill every freezer, and there's enough for everybody to get what they need, and all. But, you know, sometimes we just think if we don't look out for number one, if we don't look out for ourselves, then somehow we just become roadkill on the path of life. And the opposite is true. The scripture goes on to say that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up in due time. And God will sustain that in our lives. Sometimes it's a little easy to envy the proud. And I'm going to ask those who are going to serve us for the communion to just prepare, be in the back of our sanctuary right now. Thank you so much for your help and service to us today. But I want to look at Psalm 73. And if you're taking notes, just put Psalm 73 down and just make a parenthetical beside it. Just say, read the whole thing, okay? Because for brevity of time today, I've just kind of taken a scoop out of the center of this psalm. But the writer, Asaph, who's writing the 73rd Psalm, is examining his envy of the wicked. It looks like, you know, they're always in first place. They do things wrong but get the right results. And then he compares them to himself, where he says, you know, I'm doing all the right things, but I'm getting all the wrong results. How many have ever compared yourself like that? Yeah, it's like, you know, nice guys finish last, you know, that kind of thing. And when you do the right thing, you end up the loser and all of that. And so he's struggling with that. And that's what Psalm 73 is about. And I've taken a chunk right out of the middle here, and I want to start at verse 13. It says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. In other words, I've lived righteously to no avail. And I've washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. My life's nothing but trouble. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. But then something very, very important happened here. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Today, I want you to take the challenge with me. This is my journey. This is what I'm sharing with you, to live 2018 stronger. A year from today, I want to be stronger than where I am now. I want to be stronger in many areas of my life. I want to be stronger against temptation. I want to be stronger in my knowledge of the Word of God. I want to be stronger in my walk of faith. I want to be stronger in my marriage. I want to be stronger in relationships. I want to be stronger in my finances. We're going to explore any and all of these things throughout this year, and I want to share that journey with you and ask you to come and join me on the journey to live a stronger life. I believe it's God's will for you. We're going to just pause for a moment. Like we did at the beginning of the service, I want just maybe a few moments of silence here. So just think, what's a good area to start on in my life? Where am I weak right now that I, maybe I want to address that. Just take a 10 seconds. Identify something. To help us to live more wisely in 2018, to make better choices, Lord, informed by the Word of God. Lord, that we would walk the path of weakness in our own strength, but embrace your strength. Lord, that we would embrace humility and endure perhaps the ridicule of others, the scorn of others, but embrace humility, because at the proper time, Lord, you will lift us up. Help us have patience for that. So Lord, today as we celebrate this communion, Lord, we make a commitment to living 2018 stronger than ever before.